Voices of the Temple, official podcast of the Temple of Witchcraft, exploring mystery and magic through love, will, and wisdom, hosted by Adam Sartwell.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Michelle Blanchet here at Voices of the Temple. Blessed be.
No, I think that's really important. And, that realization to me of like, I need nature time or whatever came to me from my friend Matuka, who's a priestess in the temple. And, you know, she called it fairy time. And I was like, that it stuck in my head of like, oh, yeah, that's fairy time. You have to go out and be fae for a little bit and then you can come back into your human processing. So you are writer, lecturer, singer, like all these things. What do you think is the most rewarding part of your, like expressing your knowledge to the public, and what keeps you still passionate about your work?
Oh, I like intersectionality with works. So it really shows with I write books, and I write, some of them are nonfiction, some of them are fiction. I write games, and I do singing, and I do all. But if you like look at all of it, it's all telling the same story. It's all different ways of manifesting the same understanding and the same explorations. What keeps me going is finding those spaces between, and really sort of like challenging and not necessarily breaking boundaries, but revealing that the boundaries are more permeable than we sometimes are comfortable with. I love existing in that infinitely not marketable space. Where, I might tell I might create a ritual, and now it is a solo journaling game because that's the form that it is best suited to being. Like Feast of Ravens. I've been doing a lot of stuff where, like, I did gaming back in, I should say, I ran massive LARPs, live action role-playing games, at Gen Con and Origins, the big things in the middle 90s and late and early 2000s. I used magic shamelessly to make sure we were able to wrangle 150 plus players for 4 days at a convention to create this container of experience of sort of divine play where we all embodied these characters. And in doing that, like, I know I wasn't the only person at that point who saw the intersection of gaming and play and magic and energy work and visionary work and aspecting. And the way that it allowed people to create a sort of little pocket universe where you could vicariously explore identity. And I've, one, been delighted in seeing people become more open about that, like where that's now an open discussion, an aspect for many people with games and gaming, where back then it was very sub rosa. Like, you could kind of read between the lines where, like, some people were writing supplements and clearly they were taking their real personal practice and informing some of these, but it was still also tweaked for the game. So where I'm passionate is creating experiences that help people find themselves and find what speaks to them, what is right for them, with as much freedom and like non-judgment as possible.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you. Yes, and and finding those boundaries are actually just illusions that we put. They're useful illusions sometimes, but they're still illusions. So looking ahead for your future work, are there any projects you want to talk about that are coming up for you?
I've got a past life work journal coming out through Cross Crow, probably 2025. Obviously, I do a lot of stuff with past life work, and finding like the right prompts in a way that don't aren't super leading, that will not like color the experience too much, is very much the intersection of like finding a way to create like gaming prompts. And like, if this wouldn't exist if I hadn't been writing journaling games also, to like be able to hone how to make prompts like that. My favorite thing from this past year was the Little Book of Wicked Spells,
Yes.
Dian Press, and is a small chap book of very angry resistance magic. Like, it's ferocious and just really leans to me back into the early roots of magic being a subversive act engaged in by people who were disenfranchised by the dominant culture. And yeah, so that one's fun and feisty.
Excellent.
But otherwise, like post the COVID thing hitting, and getting long COVID myself, and like having to sort of reassess like what I can do, because I've had some increasing limitations on like how much I can interact with the world around me. I've been just making stuff to make myself happy also. So I have a little gaming company, really. It's a page on itch.io called Dark Heart Games, and whatever occurs to me that month to make goes up on there. Sometimes games, and sometimes zines, and sometimes a guide to tarot. It's just whatever it is. A lot of my work this past year has been what brings me joy, in addition to before that, so much of it was everything in service to others. And some of this is, I also want to take care of myself.
I resonate with the pandemic taught us a lot, or some people will call it the great pause. For myself, I found that I part of my service, and this sounds ridiculous, is as a joy guide.
That's not ridiculous. That's so necessary.
It is.
We
And
don't have enough of that.
and I put up, ridiculous posts and, things like that that, aren't really connected to anything that's terrible going on, but just things that make people think a little bit, or, explore what brings you joy still. And I think if you can find that intersection of where, what makes you joyful and what serves the world, you're in the sweet spot, Anyway, so what in your personal practice has been helping you now, or has been really important for you?
I meditate. I've meditated since I was tiny, before I knew what meditation was. So at least 10 minutes a day of just breath work, focus, just finding a quiet space. For me, it's usually upon first waking up and then going to sleep. So I like to harness the hypnagogic state, which is a nice natural altered state that
It
like jettisons
is.
dreams and visionary stuff. And then really a lot of just mindfulness and intention. For me, at least, there was a point in my youth, being an aged 50 something now, where like it felt like you had to do magic. That like if you were a practitioner of magic, you had to be casting spells and doing like these big fancy things. Like if it wasn't a full-on 15-person ritual, then what were you doing? And realizing that magic is what you do when you are alive, and even when you're not. It's how you interface with others and yourself and the world, and finding the tiny rituals that you engage in every day, and making a point of making existence itself sacred. So living with a sacrosanct approach to intentionality is a lot of my practice.
I in having to teach students and all of that, one of the things that I teach them is that, at first you do magic and experience it, and then over time, you become magic. And you don't need to do a spell. It could be a thought or, something that you put energy into and it suddenly appears. Or it gets to that point where, not that you don't have to do spells and stuff like that. I'm not saying that. But there is a point in the practice where you cross some sort of threshold and you become magic. And you don't even realize you're doing it.
Yes, exactly that.
And, your effect is amazing because you're, I don't know. I feel like I realize this every time I go home to my family and they say something and they're like, oh, yeah, you did this. And suddenly this worked out for me. And, like, I don't understand what you did, but, it's the realization of reflection or whatever that I get from my totally mundane family who is like, you did, this, and it was complete magic. And I, and they're complete shock. And I'm like, oh, that was like a Tuesday, Anyway, so what is the best advice you've either been given or come up with that you think might be helpful to the community?
It's an Oscar Wilde quote. Be yourself, everyone else is taken. Probably butchered it, but really, like, when it comes to magic, who are you? Like, how do you function? Not who you have been told you are, not who you think you're supposed to be. And that goes to what you do. Like, don't do it just because it's always been done this way. Don't do it just because that's what people in authority told you to do. Take some time to detach from all of that and find out who are you and how does that being exist and move through the world. And if you have a word for that being, great. If you don't have a word for that being, that's fine too. If you find that you have different boxes that you can put yourself in and those help you, like, kind of wrangle the infinitude of possibility that all of us embody, then see them as the tools that they are, use them to the extent that they are useful, abandon them when they are no longer useful. If they start to be a box that boxes you in, then they are no longer useful.
Yeah. I feel like I want to put like the caveat of like and realize that who you are is going to change.
Yes, no, it
Yeah,
must. Like,
it
if
has
you're,
to, or you're not alive.
like,
Like
well, okay, like, did you want to be a ballerina when you were five? Are you a ballerina now?
Yeah, exactly.
Astronaut? Dinosaur?
Well, I wanted to be a witch, so I'm winning, all right.
I wanted to
But
be a writer. I wanted to have a Pulitzer by the time I was 20 something because one of my mom's friends got nominated for a Pulitzer because he did a cartoon based on the shooting at Kent State. So I had an unreasonable expectation of how old you could be if you were nominated. But, like, I think being aware of our unreasonable expectations of ourselves are very important as well.
Yeah. That's it takes mindfulness for sure. So where can our listeners find you and your work?
MichelleMelanger.com, and for everybody in the US who is not descended from French Canadians, it's spelled Belanger or Belanger. So that, look for Seth Onakim on most of the social media platforms that exist. I've started to be more active on Blue Sky, and that's Sethanikeem. And if you are a gamer and want to go poke around on itch.io, look for Dark Heart Games and you'll find an odd plethora of mostly spooky stuff.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. All right. Well, let us close our space and say goodbye to the listeners. We thank the great spirits and the two who move as one. We thank the three rays of love, will, and wisdom. We thank the goddess and the god and all spirits who come through, who work with us and through us. May we recognize your presence in our lives. Blessed be. Merry meet, merry part, and
And
merry
marry
meet
me again.
again.
It's
All
always good to
right.
meet you.
Bye, listeners.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to Voices of the Temple. The contents of this podcast are copyright 2010 of the Temple of Witchcraft. For more information, please visit templeofwitchcraft.org.